Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Fishing, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Why Fish Radio, coming to you live to the hard drive from beautiful Grand Forks, North Dakota. Brad, how you doing this fine January evening?
Well, we were sitting here talking a little bit before we went on, and we are now on the 23rd of January on this fine day, and I have yet to wet a line this month. And January has typically been a month where I don't fish as much, it seems like, for whatever reason, the past few years. But it's usually a little more than this, although I'll have to say the weekend before last, wimped out. Temperatures were 20 below and a little bit of wind on top of it, and decided, well, you know what? I do enough fishing. I don't need to go out in that stuff. I'll just stay inside today instead, and really don't have a whole lot of regrets about that. But I'm hoping to kind of rectify that situation here pretty quick and start hitting the ice again a little more seriously.
Well, I think January becomes a somewhat slower month for the fishing end because it typically is 20 below, and you just don't want to get out in that, although we are known to do such things. But, you know, it seems more like it's early ice and then slows off a little bit, and then we'll slowly pick up to March will be a feverish pace again, to the end of the ice season.
I think there's definitely something to that, and, it's maybe a little bit like the winter equivalent of the dog days. And, another thing, too, I think a little bit is, you have the excitement about, getting out on the ice for the first time. That's out of your system. You've probably caught some fish, or else you've struggled a little bit, and you're going, oh, geez. In our case, luckily, I have no complaints about the year I've had on the ice so far. Certainly finished 2006 with a flourish. And, I'm hoping for good things again in 2007 because if we can keep that kind of a trend going, no complaints at all. Might just have to take that lucky fortress out on the ice again.
Well, it's sitting right out in the shed, so all we got to do is hook up and get the semi loaded, I guess.
Well, it's a problem. You got to load the thing, get the neighbors here and maybe a front end loader or something. We'll get that thing in the truck.
It's not that bad. It actually pulled by myself once I got a rope on it quite easily over the snow.
Oh, yeah. It's on the snow itself, it's not so bad. It's just hoisting it up into the back of the truck, especially when you had that guard in the back and we had to lift it up and over an extra 3 feet. That made for sheer joy.
Yeah, well, I put that thing away and it's not coming out again, so we don't have to worry about that one again.
Call that a lesson learned.
Well, we know where you've been the last couple weeks. I've had a couple of neat experiences, and I think I'm going to talk about them a little bit in reverse order. Saturday, I had the opportunity to take a gentleman and his kid out for what ended up being the kid's first ice fishing trip ever. And the really neat part about this is, besides it was his first ice fishing trip, he got a little bit of success on the northerns and the tip-ups, but I came to find out through a conversation that they're going to be moving to St. Louis, Missouri here in a few weeks. So it's basically his first and last time.
Absolutely. There's not going to be too many chances to be ice fishing down there. So what age are we talking about here? Probably 8 years old?
Yep, he was eight. Agreed to meet him and his dad and take him out to Lake Irvin for the day so the kid could play with the pike. And then I met up with my buddy Ken, and we took his 9-year-old son out. So the two boys, close in age, they had a good time just goofing off out on the ice and playing in the trees and chasing flags and whatever else 9-year-old boys do. But all in all, they had a good time. The dads had a good time. I had fun watching them. Apparently, I'm the only one who can see flags pop.
You didn't? Did you have the sirens out by any chance?
Sirens were out. Not one hit on a siren tip-up. But we did have, we had 19 tip-ups set, and we had the 5 hot ones.
Any unusual baits, any hot dogs, any dill pickles?
Nothing odd for the bait, just pretty run-of-the-mill frozen smelt, set up in the standard 6 inches of water under the ice, and let them buck for the most part. And, something I should mention is these two dads had never done tip-ups either.
Well, it's a fun way to fish. In fact, that's on the agenda here coming up real fast, is to do some tip-up fishing for me within a matter of days now. And there's just something about watching that flag fly. I don't know what it is, but there's a thrill about it that just never gets old. I just have a blast fishing tip-ups. I think they're great fun.
Well, I was making fun of these guys because I, drinking a cup of coffee having a conversation, and I could see all 19 tip-ups at the same time, and a flag would pop, and I'd call it, and they'd all go running. Well, after a while, they're like, how come we never see it? So I'd be standing there drinking a cup of coffee, having a conversation. I'd see a flag jump. I just wouldn't say anything. About a minute would go by, and finally I'd be, are you guys going to take that or what? And they were looking right at it, too.
So I guess they don't have that that eagle eye you've got. They're not trained in for looking for that flag to pop yet. There's apparently just a little bit of a fine art to it. I find it to be pretty automatic myself. I don't think there's too many flags pop on me without me seeing them.
Well, just to prove my point, one time I was standing there, and I was like, well, I'm not going to say anything, but I saw the flag go, and I just took off. Nobody even tried to follow me because nobody noticed what I was doing. I don't get it. Apparently, it's a learned reaction seeing the flag come up.
Yeah, it must be. I remember seeing the same thing a couple of springs back on Devil's Lake, too. We were out there late ice, and I remember there was a group in a neighboring party, and they were set up, you know, probably a couple hundred yards from us, and we watched that flag pop, and, you know, it got to the point where I was thinking about running over there and catching it myself because it had to have been 3 minutes before anybody finally saw that flag, and they weren't that far away. You know, they certainly should have, could have seen it, but, you know, eventually they did. Don't remember if they landed the fish, but, you know, it was certainly the same kind of a situation.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is, you know, you just got to keep an eye on them, and you kind of apparently learn what it looks like when it comes up, or I would think you'd notice it sooner or later, but onward and upward, it was a good experience. Glad I did it. Everybody always says, take a kid fishing. Well, I had never met this kid or his dad, and they went fishing, so I guess I did my good deed for the month.
Yeah, exactly. I remember doing the same thing last winter, and the kid we took fishing was about that same age, and, you know, we're lucky it was a situation where the flags were popping pretty regularly, and he did really well. He caught a lot of fish that day, and I'm not sure I pulled, well, I suppose I probably pulled in a couple just to kind of get the hang of things and show them the ropes a little bit, but you know, to watch other people have success, that's a big part of what this game is all about. And, you know, you read the stories about fishing participation, and, you know, the trend is there's fewer people taking it up. So, you know, anything we can do to, you know, kind of reverse that decline, it's, you know, every little bit helps.
I 100% agree. But change subjects to the first cool thing that happened last week. Called our taxidermist friend Jason DeZeal on the phone. I had some money that I'd gotten for Christmas, and I just wanted to make a down payment on the fish I had over at the taxidermist, my 29-inch walleye that I caught in Devil's Lake last fall. I'm sure you all have heard about it on this show or somewhere else if you know me. But I just called, and every time I've seen him this fall since I took it in, I always say, hey, Jay, how's my walleye? Ha, 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 because it's wrapped up and in the freezer. He's so busy, he's a year behind on his jobs. And I called up and said, you know, I got some money for Christmas. I'd like to bring it over and make a down payment so the thing doesn't sting. But that was my intention. Called him up. He answered the phone. Hey, Jay, how's my walleye? And he starts laughing, and he goes, pretty good. And I said, pretty good in the bottom of the freezer? He goes, funny you called because I finished it last night. Well, funny how you find full payment for a wall mount real quick. I think it was about 1:30 when I picked it up that afternoon. And it's beautiful. Of course, it better be to toot my own horn on that, but it's beautiful, I think.
Oh, no, it turned out great. And, you know, there's a bare spot on the wall. It's now filled. And kind of looking around the room here, I think you could probably fit in a couple more.
Yeah, well, we'll see what we can do. I got a cabin with a lot of room for some walleyes and deer and whatever else I can find, too. But, you know, it brought up an interesting thing that I've gotten to experience now 3 times, and I don't know what's more exciting, catching a big fish or shooting a big deer or getting it back from the taxidermist months later. It seems almost as exciting to get the walleye mount as it was to reel in the fish originally.
Well, I know. That's kind of how I felt, too, when I got the replica of the big muskie I got on the Ontario side of Lake of the Woods there a few years back. I know when I got the call about that, I was over there that same day, and that thing was picked up, and, you know, I took care of the damages and got the thing paid off and got it home. And it's, you know, for anybody who fishes, it's the ultimate, really. And you know, you fish, that's what you go fishing for, is to have a shot at a trophy like that. When you get them, I mean, there's a lot of work, a lot of frustration, you know, goes into a lot of hours that, you know, that you put on the water to make it happen. You know, unless you're one of those rare lucky few that do it the first time you catch a fish or something, but... It's, you know, The only problem is once you get one, you want more.
I'll go with that. But it took me 7 years on Devil's Lake. And if you know me, you know it's 7 hard years in my case on Devil's Lake to finally get a wall hanger. So in my case, I consider it well-deserved because I did put the time in for the fish.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't done the wall hanger thing on the wall yet. It's not that I haven't had my chances, but you know, I just keep raising that bar a little bit. And I've got an awful lot of enlargements. And I found that's been a nice way to go as well. You know, you get a nice quality enlargement and frame it. And, you know, as you can see when you come to my house, there's a few fish pictures around.
Yeah, well, I learned about turning up the power on the old digital camera for those blow-ups.
Because
I've got the perfect picture and there's nothing I can do on it.
I could tell when you sent me the picture of this one, it took about 5 minutes to download it. So I knew you weren't shooting that one or shooting that one at a small file size. But, yeah, it is too bad the greenback you got up in Winnipeg last fall, that wasn't at a higher resolution because of, you know, a 16 by 20, that would have been just a beautiful print to have. But as it was even, I think it turned out quite well.
Oh, it's a great picture. It's probably the best fish picture I have ever been in and, you know, hopefully not ever will be in.
And coming from Canuck, a guy that had been ridiculed for his fish picture taking abilities or lack thereof a short time earlier, I think he seems to have caught on quite nicely.
Yeah. Well, I find it, you know, he took that with my old digital camera. I find taking fish pictures with my new digital camera a lot easier. I think it takes a better picture, and I think it's easier to get a good picture, unless I got lucky with your two big greenbacks.
Well, I think that there's something about the way you look through the viewfinder that seems to be a little bit different. I know I always struggled, you know, looking through the viewfinder in yours too, not quite being sure what I was going to get at the other end, you know, not knowing if you were lining it up or, you know, where you're cutting the top of your head off or, you know, getting the entire picture in the frame. It was just real hard to kind of line things up. And for whatever reason, you know, that was a definite drawback. And like you say, this new one, it's slick. The only downside to the camera you have now, it's a little less compact. It's a little bulkier, but if you got a place to put it, boy, it's worthwhile when you get a big one.
Well, this new one was not only, obviously not only for fish pictures, it was purchased with a pretty hefty zoom lens for deer and for birds and stuff besides that. So, yes, it is a little bulkier, but it's worth it. I mean, I'm proof that you should have a good digital camera with you in this day and age.
Oh, there's absolutely no excuse for not having one with you. It just adds to that whole experience. There's only been a couple times, you know, in recent history that I've gone out in a boat or on a trip without a camera. One of them happened to be a particularly memorable walleye trip on the Rainy River in the spring of 2002, and I got a 30-inch walleye and two 27s that day and did not have a camera. And, you know, between my brother and I, who also never goes anywhere without a camera, was in the same boat, so to speak, that day, that neither one of us had a camera was absolutely amazing. So, you know, I try to make it a habit to have it with me, and most of the time I'm really glad I do.
Well, typically the two of us usually have two of them with us.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever been a time when we've been together that we haven't had a camera with us. And, you know, the nice thing is most of the time we get to use it.
Yep, that's exactly it. But something worth mentioning on besides getting a good camera is they're affordable now. I know when I was shopping for my new one, I actually found the equivalent of your camera, which I know you spent a lot of good money on in its day, and you can now buy that identical camera for $150.
It's amazing the way they've come down, but you know, the thing is, you can't sit there and wait for the best deal, a better deal to come along, or you're never going to buy one. I mean, you know, buy that camera, you know, kind of decide what you need, you know, what you're going to be doing with it. And, you know, be comfortable with that and just, you know, realize that within a matter of weeks after you buy it, it's, you know, it's probably going to be cheaper. But like I say, you've got to commit sometime. Otherwise, you're just going to be sitting there waiting for the better deal. And you know, I just can't understand why anybody would not have a digital camera in this day and age.
Well, I've even thought about, for only $150, buying that equivalent to that CyberShot of yours, because it's more compact and it does such a nice job, just so I don't have to take my high-octane one out with me that's a little bigger and more bulky.
Right, exactly. I mean, it'll fit in your coat pocket, and, I mean, you won't even know it's there most of the time. It's easy in, easy out. It doesn't get in the way. And, you know, that mobility, that compactness part of it is just really slick. But, you know, looking onward and upward here, what else is going on?
Well, we're in that January lull, like we said earlier. We're going to try to get out this week a little bit, try a little spot. February 3rd and 4th, 4th and 5th, something like that, that next weekend. It's looking more and more like I'm going to get a pike trip in on Devil's Lake again. And then after that, it's kind of take it as it comes. It's a full winter, even though I can't think of what's coming down the pike for myself. I know you've got a big one planned.
Yeah, exactly. There's a couple of dandies coming up, and we'll be taking our annual trip up to the Northwest Angle. We do that mid-February, go up for a week, take snowmobiles and portables. And, you know, now with the advent of GPS, you know, finding some of those spots that before were just kind of a shot in the dark. I mean, you know, those underwater humps, which are just so crucial to locating fish up on that part of the lake. You know, the technology has just made it so much easier. And, I mean, we've been making that trip every year since 1994, so we know the ropes pretty well. And it's generally a great trip, and, you know, no matter how many times I take it, I always look forward to it. So that's going to be fun. Another big one, even bigger coming up on the horizon, is at the end of March, planning on joining Stu McKay of Cats on the Red and our good friend Canuck and some other folks. I think there's going to be about 10 of us all told are making a pilgrimage from Winnipeg and going, Stu says 7 hours north, so it's probably about 9 hours north, to a place called Reed Lake in northern Manitoba. And the goal is lake trout and supposedly some big pike as well. But that far north, even that late in the year, you know, we should be encountering plenty of snow and ice. So I haven't tangled with a lake or through the ice in a couple of years now, so I'm ready to do it. And, you know, if I don't get a chance before that trip rolls around, I'll definitely be ready by that time. So that should be a great trip. And, you know, of course, then there's this Lake Winnipeg thing. We might have to try to squeeze that in, too.
Well, as things get closer, I'm sure we'll be talking about it as it comes down the pike. But we should have some good stories next week. And we're narrowing in on show 100, which is going to be kind of fun because we've already gone through and picked out the sound bites we're going to play for everybody. We've done a lot of maturing in the last 2 years.
It's a real milestone, and you know, who would have imagined at the time we were sitting down in the basement for that very first one, you know, holding this microphone like it was a hand grenade, that we'd actually make it to 100 shows. But it's gotten easier. In fact, you know, we can usually sit here and babble on at length about fishing for the, you know, 15, 20 minutes, no problem. And, you know, we have a pretty good time doing it, and we hope you enjoy listening to us as well. So, you know, for those of you guys who've been along for the ride, thank you very much. And, we hope to keep plugging away here for a few more shows. And, like I say, stay tuned because 100 is coming up fast. And I guess for now, he's given me the old wrap it up, so I will wrap it up. That concludes this week's edition of Why Fish Radio. Until next time, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.